give a little bit of church history to show you why a portion of the body of Messiah believes the way it does. At the end of the fourth century, the Roman Church began to suddenly lose much of their biblical understanding and spiritual power by severing their Jewish roots. It was done on purpose. Why? Because in 324 AD, at the Council of Nicaea — now the Council of Nicaea did many good things, but some things were bad — it was established by those attending church leaders, and by the way, none of them were Jewish, that all religious associations and identifications to Judaism should be trashed. And as a result of his proclamation, Easter would replace Passover, and it would be observed on the Sunday after the spring equinox. So because of all those changes made by our ancient church fathers, the body of Messiah in 2026, for the most part, does not see the value of understanding much of the Hebrew portion of the Bible, including the biblical feasts of Israel that were to be observed for all generations. So let's pray knowing that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this special time when I get to share this with my congregational family. Lord, help me make sense and not cause confusion, please. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. So we'll start out with a question. Do you think the event that's believed to be the birth of the church or the body of Messiah might be important to understand? You got what I'm saying? The birth of the church or the birth of the body of Messiah. Think it would be good to understand this? Okay, we're going to be doing this today. Today I'm going to look at Shavuot, which is one of the three ancient holidays where Jewish men of the world were to go to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. So the question is this: Frank, I'm not Jewish, so why should I know about this Jewish holiday? Well, first of all, because it's part of your Bible. Second, because this is a God-ordained holiday, and there's a tremendous reminder and message to the body of Messiah today. Now, although I have many times, and as a reminder, I'll say this again. When Paul wrote to Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, he was not referring to the new covenant. Why is that? The new covenant wasn't even written yet. He was talking about the Hebrew scriptures. Now, when we read about Shavuot, which is also called First Fruits, also called Pentecost, I want you to understand that there are actually two parts to this biblical holiday. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scripture, and some of it you're going to want to go over your head. But to get the context, and I never apologize for reading the scripture, but I've got to read a lot of scripture so you'll really understand what's cooking here. So follow along with me as best you can. Leviticus 23, verse 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you enter the land I am giving you, and you harvest its first crops." So he's speaking about something in the future. Bring the priest a bundle of grain from the first cutting of your grain harvest. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord so it may be accepted on your behalf. On that same day, you must sacrifice a one-year-old male lamb with no defects as a burnt offering to the Lord, which with it you must present a grain offering consisting of 4 quarts of flour moistened with olive oil. It will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You must also offer 1 quart of wine as a liquid offering. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until you bring this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation wherever you live. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you bring the bundle of grain to be lifted up as a special offering, count off 7 weeks. Keep counting until the day after this, the seventh Sabbath. 50 days later, then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves of bread to be lifted up before the Lord as a special offering. Make these loaves from 4 quarts of choice flour and bake them with yeast. Now, they just celebrated Passover. You don't have yeast. Now, God says, bake them with yeast. They will be an offering to the Lord from the first of your crops. Along with the bread, present 7-year-old male lambs with no defects, 1 young bull and 2 rams of burnt. Am I going over your head yet? Hang with me. As a burnt offerings to the Lord. These burnt offerings together with the grain offerings and liquid offerings will be a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Then you must offer 1 male goat as a sin offering. And you know, when God's given these instructions, someone must be sitting there with a pen and paper that could read, that could really write fast. Then you must offer 1 male goat as a sin offering and 2 1-year-old male lambs as a peace offering. The priest will lift up the 2 lambs as a special offering to the Lord, together with the loaves of representing the first of your crops. These offerings, which are holy to the Lord, belong to the priests. That same day will be proclaimed an official day for holy assembly, a day on which you do no ordinary work. So I could clean the garage, because that's not ordinary. I haven't cleaned my garage in 2 years, actually my wife cleaned it last time, a couple years ago. She asked me to clean the garage, so I could clean the garage. That would not be considered ordinary work, because I don't ordinarily do that. Now where am I? Obvious, no ordinary work. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed from generation to generation wherever you live. Now, okay, obviously, today, this law can no longer be observed in a true biblical fashion. Why is that, Frank? Because there's no longer a temple. It was destroyed when? 70 AD. But today, Shavuot is still time-honored in a rabbinical way, a rabbinical way. And I'll explain that later. When God gave Israel Shavuot, I believe it was not only a law to be obeyed, but it was also a prophetic message that man would need a blood sacrifice to be saved from sin. I want you to notice in verse 17, God specifically said to offer up to him 2 loaves of bread with yeast or leaven. Now, we know that leaven prophetically speaks of sin. It speaks of the natural man corrupted by sin, yet I want you to notice that this offering was acceptable to God. Why? Because along with the bread that contained leaven, blood was at the same time being offered to God. At the same time. In Leviticus 23, verse 20. 23:20. The priest will lift up the 2 lambs as a special offering to the Lord, together with the loaves representing the first of your crops. These offerings, which are holy to the Lord, belong to the priest. So, in this priestly act of presenting this sacrifice, we can symbolically and prophetically understand that sinful man can be accepted to a holy God only if the blood of a lamb is included. You see that? And the way I see it, that's a prophetic picture of Messiah Yeshua, who was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In ancient times, Shavuot, or first fruits, were made up of 2 parts, early first fruits and latter first fruits. The early first fruits always came on the heel of Passover. In those days, the early harvest was barley. So barley was the early harvest, first fruits, that was harvested in the spring. And a good barley harvest gave the people the confidence for the latter harvest of wheat, which was called the latter or the second first fruits. Are you with me? First the barley, then the wheat. Now, after the temple was destroyed, things had to change. There is a change concerning the first and second harvest feasts. The first and second first fruits feast became a single feast, and they named it Shavuot, which means weeks of seven. And in Greek, it's known as Pentecost, which refers to the 50 days after the early first fruits. Now today, in an Orthodox synagogue, Shavuot is usually celebrated with corporate worship and the reading of two books in the Hebrew scriptures, Ezekiel, because it speaks of God's glory, and the book of Ruth, because it takes place during the spring harvest season. Shavuot has also become a day all Israel commemorates the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, the Torah, the first five books. Now, this is interesting to me, because it doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say that Shavuot is to commemorate the Torah. You know, it doesn't say that. And I went online and saw three or four teachings from traditional Jews about the meaning of Shavuot. And all they talk about is something that is not in the Bible. They talk about the giving of the Torah. How do you know? The Bible doesn't say that. They're supposed to be people of the Bible, a people of the Word, but it doesn't say that, but they say that. Okay, if you want to commemorate it, okay? It could be like Hanukkah. It could be or Christmas. It commemorates an event. That's okay. It doesn't violate Scripture. But to say that this is what it means only, no, it's actually a harvest festival. That's all it really is. It's a harvest festival, thanking God for the harvest. Now today, when we read Acts 20:16, we can now understand why Paul avoided spending time visiting his friends in Ephesus. 20:16, now I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible. For Shaul, that's Paul, had decided to bypass Ephesus on his journey in order to avoid losing time in the province of Asia, because he was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, if possible, in time to celebrate Shavuot. Now, I read in my NIV version, it says where he wanted to get there because of Pentecost. But this is the Complete Jewish Bible that says Shavuot. So knowing Paul was a Jew, he was a Messianic Jew, do you think he tried to fulfill Leviticus 23? Yes. It's interesting. It's really interesting that when Paul taught the believers of Corinth about the resurrection of Yeshua, he referred to the festival of first and second first fruits. He was referring to the holiday of Shavuot. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, he wrote, "But the fact is that the Messiah," now out of the Complete Jewish Bible, "but the fact is that the Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a man, also a resurrection of the dead has come through a man. For just as in connection with Adam all die, so in connection with the Messiah, all we will be made alive, but each in his own order. The Messiah is the first fruits, then those who belong to the Messiah." In other words, Messiah would be the first to be raised bodily from the grave, like the first early fruits, which were barley. Remember? Barley. And then like the second first fruits, which was wheat, we will be made alive because we belong to him. And remember, it was the barley harvest that gave people the assurance, the confidence for the wheat harvest. So for us, we know for a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. It's a fact. And because he rose like the barley, that gives us the confidence. The confidence that when you breathe like Brother Bob, just recently, when he breathed his last breath, okay, he's like the wheat on the second first fruits, and he goes to be with the Lord. Okay, so let's turn the boat just a little bit now. Would you agree with me that God's timing is seldom man's timing? Amen, I wish it was, but it's not. Would you also agree with me that when God does something, coincidence is seldom an issue? Yeah. So picture this. Yeshua has been crucified and risen from the dead to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And the temple in Jerusalem has not yet been destroyed. It's the day of Shavuot, the bread with the yeast and the blood of the lambs have just been offered to God. And thousands of Jewish worshipers from many nations are now in the streets after leaving the temple morning service. And the disciples of Yeshua have gathered in an upper room at a house. Let's read about this. It's Shavuot. In Acts 2, verse 1, out of the complete Jewish Bible. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the sky, like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came on, rest on, or upon each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. Now we know why, because it was Shavuot. And they were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, how is this possible? Aren't all these who are speaking from Galilee, there's Galilee area. How is it that we hear them speaking in our native languages? We hear Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors of Rome, Jews by birth and proselyte Jews from Crete and from Arabia. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own language about the great things God has done? Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, what can this mean? But others made fun of them and said they had just too much wine. You know, in the move of God, there's always those that are going to make fun. You know that. It always happens. Then Kepha, that's Peter, stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. You Judeans of all you and all of you staying here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means. Listen carefully to me. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel. Adonai says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon every one of your sons and your daughters. Will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my slaves, both men and women, will I pour out from my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will perform miracles in the sky above, the signs above and signs on the earth below. Blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Yeshua from Nazareth was a man demonstrated to you to have been from God by the powerful works and miracles and signs that God performed through him in your presence. You yourselves know this. This man, arrested in accordance with God's predestined plan, had foreknowledge and through the agency of the persons not bound by the Torah, you nailed him up on a stake and killed him. But God raised him up and freed him from the suffering of death. It was impossible that death could keep its hold on him. Okay, and what a sermon. And as a result of this miraculous incident on Shavuot, 3,000 people became believers and were baptized. So what does this mean to us in 2026? When Shavuot is remembered, it speaks of the body of Messiah. It speaks of revival. It speaks of evangelism. And here's why. Before Yeshua sent his disciples to proclaim the good news and to be a witness for him, here's what he said in John 14:15. He said, "If you love me, you obey what I command. If you love me, you obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day," on what day? "That day, you will realize that I am my Father, you are in me, and I am in you." Now, that day is realized in Acts 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit," or the Ruach HaKodesh, "comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then, when the day of Shavuot came, it all came together. The disciples received the Ruach of truth upon them and now had the evidence that Yeshua was in his Father, they were in Yeshua, and he in them. And then Peter, who recently denied Yeshua, preached a powerful message, and 3,000 sinners became believers. Yes, Yeshua is our Passover lamb. Passover speaks of being saved from the judgment of God. But Shavuot speaks of revival and evangelism. And because of the fact that Messiah will return, listen, we need to prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves. And at the same time, we need to be more yielding and cooperate with the Holy Spirit when he tries to bring our family and friends to the Messiah for salvation. God wants the whole world to be saved, not just a selective few. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world. On the one hand, I firmly believe when I do my part, there's a good chance God will do his part. On the other hand, if I refuse to do my part, there's a good chance nothing will happen. Romans 10, verse 9. Paul is speaking to the believers in Rome and says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, or Yeshua is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all who richly bless and all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. You know, the Great Commission. God's given us the Great Commission. The Great Commission. People do not like, people who are not saved do not enjoy hearing the Great Commission. In fact, they say there's two things you shouldn't talk about. You shouldn't talk about politics, and you shouldn't talk about religion. Okay, I can understand the politics business, okay? But when they say you shouldn't talk about religion, no, no, no. We're told to talk about religion. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Does he not? Then Jesus came to them and said, now here's what he said to his disciples, and he says to his disciples today, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, it's not a suggestion. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We're commanded. We're commanded to spread the gospel, the good news, that there was a Son of God who was born sinless, was raised, was died, was killed, and was resurrected. The gospel. But some people, they're embarrassed. They don't want to hurt their friend's feelings. Their friend may not be a friend anymore. Well, here's what Paul says about that. He says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Not ashamed. What's there to be ashamed about? You may be called a Jesus freak or a Yeshua freak. What an honor. It's amazing how few people have ever led another person to the Lord. Yet we are commanded. Now, not everybody is going to be an evangelist. That's in a special gifting, Ephesians 4:11 gifting. But we're all to spread the gospel. Now, just because you tell someone about Yeshua doesn't mean they're going to get saved right away. There's so many, sociologists tell us that it takes, I can't remember, but I think it's 7 touches or 11 touches before someone really gets serious about following Yeshua. But you may be number 4. You may be number 6. I like to be the last one personally. But I'll settle for 2nd or 3rd, whatever it takes. I meet with a bunch of sinners. Good guys, but a bunch of sinners. A lot. And these guys know that I'm a pastor. They know I'm a rabbi. They know I'm a psychologist. They know me. And when they first found out about me, they were a little squeamish. But now they're themselves, and they trust me. And I believe they like me. And I've actually become like their pastor. And I pray for them. Whenever I'm there, in my mind, I say, Lord, save these men. Save them, please, in Jesus' name. Sometimes I pray in Yeshua's name. Depends where I'm at. Well, a few of them have been to our Sunday congregation. A couple of them have been to our Shabbat service. One person's child died, and he asked me to officiate. I've done marriage counseling to a few of the couples. I've ministered to them. When something is going wrong, they'll take me aside. Not in public. They'll take me aside and say, Frank, I need to talk to you later. Okay. This is going on and that's going on. Pray for me, will you? Okay, I will. So I become like their pastor. And I was convicted. I was convicted because Jesus was criticized for hanging out with the sinners. All I was hanging out with years ago were the saints. It's hard to lead a saint to the Lord because he's already in the body of Messiah. Okay, it's comfortable to hang out with the saved. The birds of a feather flock together. Why is that? Because it's comfortable. I had to look for ways to hang out with the unsaved. Why is that? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. To be a witness. So think about what I'm saying, okay? We're not called just to sit in the seats and worship. We're called to be doers. We're called to spread the gospel. You heard the gospel from somebody, amen? From somebody. Somebody had the courage. Somebody was not ashamed. And they gave you the message. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of salvation to everyone who believes, to the first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Let's all stand together, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've given us this job, this commission to spread your gospel. It's not up to us whether they get saved or not. We're just to spread the gospel. We're just to tell them where hope for an everlasting life comes from. Then you do your part. Use us, Lord, as we step out, knowing that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Yavarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha. Yaseh Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance and give you peace. In Yeshua's precious name, we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you a lot. Listen, we've